good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Oh, that was good. I heard a lot from this side of the room. Let's try that again. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Oh, yes, that's what I was looking for. Good. Well, I want to welcome you to our worship here this happy Easter morning. It is beautiful as it ever could be to celebrate the greatest gift given to us by God through Jesus Christ this morning. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, as we begin this morning, I'll just say, because it's a special day, our order of worship might look a little bit different than usual Sunday, and that means that we might be doing some extra singing as well here this morning, which is a right thing for us to do on Easter. And speaking of singing, we are going to begin by singing Christ the Lord is Risen Today. So I invite you to stand as you are able, and we will sing hymn number 302. 302, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. First scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Now verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand again as we sing hymn number 310, "He Lives." 310.
Thank you.
second scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be reading verses 50 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. Hear the word of the Lord. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear it with joy what you have to say to us today. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, it is Easter, and Easter is a special time of the year for us as Christians. It is certainly the height of the Christian year, the Christian calendar, which begins, of course, with Christmas, right? And this is the height, this is the peak, it's the celebration of celebrations for us. And I've heard many Easter sermons in my life, as I'm sure you have as well, and I want to let you know, this is actually my first Easter sermon. I've preached on Palm Sunday, I've preached in Lent, I've done, but this is my first sermon for Easter. And so I come to you all this morning with a bit of excitement about that, but I also come with a little bit of fear and trembling, like the women, like the disciples that very morning when Christ rose. And I come to it also with some mixed feelings as well. And the reason is because I don't want to mess this up, right? I mean, you can mess up. You know, I could mess up Palm Sunday, I could mess up, you know, Ash Wednesday, but Easter, that's not something to mess up. So I come to it trying to be a little humble. And so the reason also is because I've heard a lot of Easter sermons in my life, and without sounding too conceited and too overly critical, I tell you that many of them have had little to do with Easter. At least Easter according to the scriptures, Easter according to the apostles, Easter according to Paul. And these last 7 weeks, we have been diving into Paul's explanation of Easter, Paul's explanation of the resurrection of the dead in 1 Corinthians 15, and we've come to that final part here this morning, verses 50 through 58. And we've been drawing out Paul's understanding of the resurrection of Christ. What does this mean? We hear in the Gospels. We hear the story, the narrative, the events that happened. But sometimes we don't always get the significance, the meaning of what happened from the narratives themselves. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's pulling out and saying, yes, Christ has been raised. And this is what it means. And so we've been exploring that. What does Christ's resurrection mean? And what does our resurrection mean? The resurrection of the dead. When Christ will raise the dead, when he comes again in glory. So in other words, we've been looking at what is Easter according to Paul. And so I come to this sermon, like I've said, a bit fearful this morning. Fearful that my preaching of Easter, that is, my preaching of the gospel, might fall utterly short of what Paul and the apostles and the early church called Easter. I've seen it done many times, and I've heard lots of Easter sermons that were nothing more than sentimentalism and do-goodness and wishful thinking. And so my prayer this morning simply is that I wouldn't miss the mark for your sake, for our sake. But more so my prayer is that we would encounter the living, breathing, resurrected, sin-conquering, death-conquering Savior, the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. My prayer is that we not just go through the religious motions, right? Oh, it's Easter, so we come to church, right? So we do all of the things. We have our Easter bunny baskets, and we have our Easter egg hunts. Not that we would just go through the motions. Not that we would just say and hear the status quo of Easter. Not that we would just say and hear the meaningless cliches that we're so accustomed to hearing, but that we would be drawn into the very presence of our Savior. Our Savior that we've learned, who saves us and saves not only our souls from sin and hell and spiritual death, but our Savior who is going to save our bodies as well. Our bodies which will be changed and transformed on that day when he returns to be like his glorious body. And so this morning, the question that we're looking at is, what is Easter? After all, 7 weeks, preacher, come on, you've been just beating us over the head with 1 Corinthians 15. What is this Easter according to Paul? Well, I want to begin first by clarifying what Easter according to Paul is not in 1 Corinthians 15. In our passage here this morning, we see in verses 53 and 54 that Jesus' resurrection was not simply him just coming alive again. Jesus' resurrection was not just Jesus coming alive again. That is, he was not simply just resuscitated. You know, no one did some, you know, after they took him down from the cross, no one, you know, did some secret CPR on him, you know, and brought him back. No one took him to the ER and gave him his vitals and all this stuff that we have today. No, there was no, it was not just Jesus coming back to life. He was dead, but, you know, well, they did CPR and he came back. You know, that happens sometimes to some people today. You know, usually people call those miracles. But that's not what Easter is. Jesus was not simply resuscitated back into his old body that had been beaten and torn and crucified. Paul explains that Christ's resurrection and our own resurrection when he returns, he explains that this is our perishable mortal bodies that can die, right? our perishable mortal bodies putting on, being clothed in immortality, being clothed in that which is imperishable, that which can no longer have sin, that which can no longer die. It is a putting on, being clothed. That is what Easter is. That is what happened to Jesus. And so when we read in the Gospels those famous words that we read this morning from the angel on the first Easter Sunday. Side note, you know, we sing, the first Noel, the angel. How come we don't say the first Easter? You know, anyways, that's beside the point. But that first Easter Sunday, we hear these words. You'll see it on Facebook, right? Everyone will plaster it everywhere. He is risen. Or no, okay, he's not here. He has risen, just as he has said. We hear that year in and year out. And you know, we think, okay, when we sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. We think that today means like, okay, he rose today, this morning, right? And he rose last Easter, right? And he rose the Easter. Jesus has risen from the dead. It's like, you know, the preacher calls you down to the altar to get saved again and again and again, right? You need to get saved again. No, Jesus rose from the dead. He's rose from the dead about 2,000 times now, right? 2,100. No, that's not what we're talking about. Jesus did not rise from the dead this morning. Sorry to break some people's bubbles. Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, and every day is an Easter day because we are Easter people. We have received the new life of the Holy Spirit. We have been raised with Christ, and we are also awaiting that final resurrection, the full salvation of even our bodies. And so when we hear, he's not here, he has risen just as he said, that doesn't mean that Jesus just simply came back to life. That doesn't mean that he was simply resuscitated. No. What this means is he has been resurrected. That's the word. The standing up, literally. The standing up of that which was dead. His body that was dead, that was broken, that was beaten and crucified by sinful men, did not just miraculously heal overnight. Oh, he took some good medicine. No, instead, his body was changed. It was transformed by the resurrection power of God who creates all things new. This was his perishable, mortal, dead body that God clothed with imperishability and clothed with immortality. Why couldn't the disciples recognize Jesus after he had rose from? You ever ask yourself that? Yeah, this is Jesus. This is their Lord. This is their teacher. They didn't recognize him. Why didn't they recognize him? It's because he didn't come back into his old beaten body. He had received a new body. It was because he was new. He was perfected. He was glorified. And yet he still bore the scars. I think they will eternally be there, the scars on his hands, feet, and his side. He still bore the scars of Good Friday when he gave up his life on that cross for the sins of me, the sins of you, and for the sins of the whole world. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. You see, Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead, he died again. says here, Jesus cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And so Easter, my friends, is not about Jesus simply coming back to life. It's not about the Easter Bunny. It's not about Jesus dying and rising once a year, every year, on the Good Friday and on the Easter morning. No, Jesus died once and for all. One time, 2,000 years ago, for all time, and for all peoples. And his resurrection that we celebrate on this holy day is simply our annual remembrance of that. It's our annual celebration of that. Because, let's face it, we'd love to have Easter and family in town every single day. That'd be great. But, you know, one time a year is good. But that's what Easter is for us. It is about celebrating, remembering that he conquered, that he defeated, that he overcame, that he overwhelmed, and that he beat death to a bloody pulp. Death is the punishment for sin. But Jesus never sinned. And yet death couldn't hold him. So through his death, he defeated death. God, the God of the living God, raised Jesus from the dead as the victor, as the winner supreme. Revelation 1:5 says that he is the firstborn from the dead. That means that there's a secondborn and third and fourth and so on and so forth. And that's you and that's me. He's the firstborn from the dead. And Paul says, later in 1 Corinthians 15, earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, that the first fruits, that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And so, my friends, when the angel says he's not here, he has risen, he is risen, what he is saying is that death has been swallowed up in victory. Death is no more. He's saying that Jesus has saved us, both our souls and our bodies. That is true and full salvation. It's not enough to just have our souls saved. God goes all the way because he created all of us. He will save our bodies as well. This is freedom from sin, freedom from death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. And hear this. This is Paul's conclusion. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Did you hear that? Our response to Easter should be thanksgiving to God, who has given to us, not just to Jesus, but he's given to us as well, this very victory in and through Christ. I want to end this morning. I've shared this before, but I want to end this morning with my favorite verse. In 1 Corinthians, it is 1 Corinthians 6:14. God raised the Lord, and he will also raise us by his power. What does Easter mean? What is Easter, according to Paul? God raised the Lord, and he will also raise us by his power. This is salvation, my brothers. This is the gospel, my sisters. This is Easter, my friends. Let us pray. Jesus, you said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And so, Lord, we here this morning, we call upon you, the living one, the Lord, the giver of life. Meet us here, Lord, in a special way. Meet us here, perhaps like you did to those walking on the road to Emmaus after you had been risen. May we have those burning hearts to hear you. May we have burning hearts, Lord, to see you, to recognize you as you truly are, to walk with you, Lord. As that old hymn says, he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. Lord, I pray that for us, that as you walk with us, we're not walking with you, you're walking with us. Lord, as you walk with us, as you talk with us, Lord, my prayer is that we follow your lead, that we'd hear your words, that we would grow closer to you. Lord, that we would love you more each moment of each day. And so we thank you that you have given us victory, victory over sin, victory over death. We praise you for saving us, for loving us, for forgiving us, for suffering on our behalf, and showing us just how much God loves us. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, who raised Christ from the dead and is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We are humbled and grateful for all that you've done, and we celebrate once again your victory and salvation. Alleluia. Amen. At this time, I would invite you to stand as you are able, take your hymnal, and turn with me to page 880. We are going to recite our faith together, the Apostles' Creed. That's number 881. Let us recount our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, Tiger is going to share with us a special music he'll be playing for us, Up from the Grave He Rose. Thank you.
invite you to turn with me in your hymnals now to page 7. I want you to follow along as we take Holy Communion here together this morning. Down at the bottom, receive this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us confess together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God. And I would remind us of our offering during this COVID time. You can leave your offering as you come in. You can leave your offering as you go. And this time I would invite you to stand and we will sing together the doxology. Let us praise the Lord for his gifts.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
continuing on page 9 of your hymnal. Give me just a second. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all glory, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. This is the body of Christ, given for you. This is the blood of Christ, given for you. Let us pray together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we are set forth this morning by the Lord, we are going to be sent forth with singing. So I invite you to stand once more. Turn with us in your hymnals to number 504, The Old Rugged Cross. And invite Susan to come up and lead us here. We'll be singing two hymns, The Old Rugged Cross, 504, and then Because He Lives, 364. We'll announce that one again. Let's begin with The Old Rugged Cross. Thank you. 364, because he lives. 364. Service, we'll have our ad board meeting for those of you who are part of that. And lastly, just wanted to remind the children that we have up here Easter baskets for all of the kids. And so make sure that as we dismiss, you come up and receive your Easter basket. And those are all the announcements I have, unless anyone else would like to share anything.
I will say that our meeting next Sunday is very important. We're going to be discussing a very important repair to the church, and it would be great if all the trustees could be present, and anyone really in the congregation, everyone is welcome to these meetings, and this is a very important one. So I would encourage everyone to that can attend to attend.
We are set forth in the power of Christ's resurrection. Alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Have a happy, happy Easter.
You too.
Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.
Thank you.